The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
thicker. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello, and welcome to episode 148 of the WrestleCast. I'm your host, Don DeLorente, and I'm joined by the reigning and defending El Dandy, guest of the year, and other than Aquinas HR.
What's going on, y'all?
What's up, man?
Nothing, chilling.
It's a two-man booth this week. It's just me and Aquinas HR. We may get a late run-in from Bebe Jonet, as she had a glorious week on SmackDown Matters, so maybe we can get her post a little bit later. But first off, I'm going to let everybody know that you can find the WrestleCast on CSPN.us. You can also find us on thewrestlecast.tumblr.com. You can follow us on Twitter at thewrestlecast. You can also follow us on and listen to us on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes as well. Please rate, share, and review through iTunes. And you can also download and listen through any app for Android or iPhones. Say that five times fast. That you can download and listen to our podcast through as well. So please check us out. All right. So first and foremost, we got some quick news. Asuka is hurt. Ember Moon has done the unthinkable. She didn't win the match, but she injured Asuka. Asuka has a broken collarbone. She will be out 6 to 8 weeks. And Aquinas HR, I think you had some late breaking news right before we went on the air.
Yeah, they said that Asuka has relinquished her title and quote unquote is looking for other opportunities in WWE. So they basically stripped her of the belt, even though they let Brock walk in, you know, every other day. To come in to defend it. But, you know, they could have done the same thing with Asuka. Asuka isn't wrestling every NXT show, so... But they decided to take it off her, and I think they were going to move her up anyway, but this just lets her heal. And so next time we see her, she'll probably be on Raw.
You think she fits better on Raw or NXT? SmackDown, excuse me.
I don't know. Actually, they said there was a thing that her and Becky got into it at TakeOver. And I didn't pay attention to it. They said that someone got a view from the other side that Asuka was putting on the disarmor. And I had to go back and watch it. And I was like, she did put on the disarmor. And she like looked at Becky Lynch and was saying stuff back and forth to her. And Becky Lynch stood up and actually tweeted at her like, you need to work on that a little bit more. So they might be throwing her on SmackDown, but... I kind of would like to see her and Alexa go at it, and I'm sure Sasha would just like lose her mind going against Asuka. So I could see SmackDown, but I'd like to see her on Raw, truthfully, and that's one of the few people that I like to see on Raw since they like to kill NXT talent. But you know,
yeah. All right, so our second bit of news: the Nature Boy Ric Flair. He's starting to recover. He's on the mend. He's out of the medically induced coma. He is progressing. Still a long ways to go, but apparently he's cutting promos on nurses. So that's a good sign. So hopefully, you know, in the next few months, hopefully by the time his 30 for 30 comes out, he's, you know, well and able and strong enough to partake in the live tweets and all the fun that's going to be surrounding it. So just continue to get well, Nature Boy.
Get well. Woo! You got to do it. You got to.
So we had an action-packed weekend, of course, as we had NXT Brooklyn Takeover on Saturday night. Of course, SummerSlam on Sunday. We also had our live tweets here at the WrestleCast, as we had hashtag Cast Takeover. And we also had hashtag Summer of Slams. So I'd just like to give a big shout out to everybody who participated Friday and Saturday. And on Sunday, if you had to, you know, watch a little bit, you know, on Sunday from Saturday night, you know, so everybody who was a part of any of the hashtags this week, I'd like to give y'all a big shout out. I'd like to give a big shout out to the Afterglow Podcast, guys over at Powerbomb Jitsu, Slam Brothers Podcast, my guys over at Go Get Over, and the African American Announce Table Podcast. They all show some love this weekend. So big shout out to them. Check those guys out. And, you know, everybody else that came through too, man, thanks for showing support. So we'll get into it. NXT TakeOver started off fast. Johnny Gargano, Cien Almas with Zelina Vega, a.k.a. Thea Trinidad. Hashtag Creepcast.
Definitely Creepcast. One of the reasons we could still be mad at Austin Aries.
Cien Almas with a distraction from Zelina Vega. She throws a shirt, a DIY shirt, at Johnny Gargano. So we could take a drink right off the top here. He gives Johnny Gargano the Hammerlock DDT, and Cien Almas gets the win. So looks like they're going to do something with Cien Almas, long overdue.
Finally, I actually thought that was one of the best matches I've seen him in. And I was just like, he's ready. But I think just because they got Thea Trinidad with him, they'll keep him down just to so they can sort of work out the kinks. But I think he's finally figured out his character. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah, he seems to have a little bit more confidence now in what he's doing. And yeah, he looked like the old La Sombra in this match for real. Little fun fact: Zelina Vega's outfit. She said it was inspired by Aaliyah, so that's
nice. Cool.
Yep. The sleeper match of the night, the one that nobody had any high hopes for, but actually turned out to be pretty dang on good. Authors of Pain versus Sanity, NXT Tag Team Title match. Nikki Cross gets caught by one of the members of the AOP. Killian Dane does a crossbody, and he blocks them into all three through a table. That's a pretty nasty bump. Oof. That leads to Alexander Wolf and Eric Young hitting the dual neckbreaker off the top rope to get the win. Sanity are your new tag team champion. After the match, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly hit the ring, and they beat down everybody. And then they grab the NXT titles for a brief second. And I guess they're putting the whole tag team division on notice to say, hey, I guess they're going to call them Red Dragon is here. So they actually named, you know, they called the Chasing the Dragon their finishing move. They actually said that out loud. So this should be fun.
I mean, of course, no one really had any hopes for it because, you know, usually you get four big dudes in a match and it's slow moving. But they showed out for what it was. I know I really wasn't expecting. I was just like, well, you know, this would be fun. And then also, it's really hard when you get, you know, when you get two heel teams to go against one another because you don't think they're really going to do all of the dirty stuff that they would do. But they did all of the dirty stuff that they would do, especially Eric Young putting himself in the match at the last minute.
Yeah. Before Killian Dane actually got tagged in, Eric Young came out of nowhere and popped up on the ring and was like, hey, I'll just take over from here. So, yeah, it was very fun. And Nikki Cross, she deserves all the awards and standing ovations and whatever else she gets because, man, that was a serious bump. Oof. We had – oh, go ahead.
No, it's the year of the serious women bump. First Stephanie at WrestleMania. And now Nikki Cross is just like, yeah, so we're going to do this table thing with them. May as well.
We had the newest sensation, the next big thing, Aleister Black versus Hideo Itami. With special announcer, Jim Ross. Hideo Itami rushes Aleister Black, but he misses with the clothesline. That allows Aleister Black to hit the black mass, and he gets the win. This was basically WWE Strong Style. And it was a pretty good match.
I mean, it was just the kick your head off special match. It just was like if there was a kick that could be done, they did it. And I know you saw the color Aleister Black had afterwards. They even showed it on Instagram where his you could just see where his nose was just bloodied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that added a lot of texture to the match. Just let you know just how real it can be and how real Hideo Tommy was taking. This is a spotlight match for him.
And he didn't get hurt. That's the plus. He didn't get hurt.
Yelling for the people to respect him. And I think a lot of people have a lot more respect for him after this match. So
yeah, because they finally got a chance to see him in full, because the other times it was like Finn was there or somebody else was there or he was injured. And I think just when he was hitting the streak before, that was when he had the first shoulder injury. And now it's everybody else is gone and now he's still there. So, but yeah, that was, but you see Bass Guy Trips hit Aleister Black up with the live band treatment this time. Mm-hmm. That was dope. That was dope.
Yeah, yeah. Aleister Black is, he's on his way, man. He is on his way. Next up, we had Ember Moon versus Asuka for the NXT Women's title. Asuka catches Ember Moon in a cross arm breaker, but Ember counters to a roll up for a near fall. Asuka then transitions that into the Asuka lock, and Ember Moon taps out, and Asuka retains the NXT Women's title. We knew they were going to tear it down, and that's exactly what they did. They tore it down.
It seemed like every Brooklyn that they're going to do, the women are just going to just rip the roof off the place. Because that match, everything, it was everything in it. I think Ember hit Asuka just as hard as Asuka hit her. So it was, there was nothing soft with that. And she did hit her with the eclipse.
So the only eclipse I care for this weekend, and Asuka kicked out of it. So,
well, that was number one. Number two was, you know, it was the Clips 15th anniversary. So there was that. So, you know,
yeah. So just another great performance by Asuka. I really like the booking where, you know, she basically took her to the limit. She tried to use the underhanded tactics again, but Ember was ready for it. And, you know, Asuka just caught her slipping. That's all it took. You know, that's all it takes. You just get caught slipping and she can beat you. And that's what happened. And so Ember definitely got over, got a nice ovation as she left the ring. So it'll be interesting to see what happens now that Asuka's hurt and the title will be up for grabs. If, you know, the winner of the Mae Young Classic now gets an automatic title shot, or, you know, what the stipulations and stakes will be. So interesting there.
So we'll probably get a three-way match, Ruby Riott, might be four-way for all intents and purposes. You'll have Ruby Riott, Nikki Cross, and Ember Moon, and if they want to throw one of the iconic duo in there. But if it's those first three, that's already going to be a hot match. So I don't even think they need somebody else in there. So those three, but who would you put the title on out of those three?
It would still be Ember, just because she's got the most fan, you know, support behind her. I think.
True.
I think Ember. I think the fourth person. You're right. It would either be Peyton Royce, or it would be whoever wins the classic, because they're going to be hot. Whoever wins that is going to be hot.
True.
And people are going to want to see them at least close to the championship, if not get a shot at the championship, even if they don't win, or if WWE got creative and they had a time limit draw or something. Mm-hmm. You know, they could get some mileage out of just whoever wins the classic being the it person, because this thing is going to do well. I just don't know, for people like us who like to kind of live stream, I don't know how it's going to work out. Just use the hashtag that you created, sir, Forever Young Cast, to talk about it when you tweet about it. We will watch it as a family though next week after Raw. So, you know, plan to stay up till like 12:30.
Oof. I'll be up for it. Wait, Monday? Right. Shoot, I got an exam the next morning. Yeah, I'll still stay up for it.
So Drew McIntyre, Bobby Roode, the main event NXT title match. Bobby Roode counters a body slam into a float over a glorious DDT, but he only gets a near fall. Bobby Roode then hits another glorious DDT, holds onto the wrist and goes for a third, but Drew McIntyre hits Roode with a short headbutt, and then he hits the Claymore. McIntyre gets the pin, and Drew McIntyre is your new NXT champion. During McIntyre's celebration, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly come back out. They serve as a distraction for Adam Cole, baby, to come through the crowd, jump McIntyre, and leave him laying, and to have a lasting image of Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish standing over a fallen, newly crowned NXT champion, Drew McIntyre.
I swear, after watching Drew McIntyre in that match, you forget how good he was even back in 2009. Because for, you know, that whole 3MB thing, you didn't see any of it. And then, you know, from there to Impact Wrestling. But now you get to see it in full, what Vince and them saw years ago. Now it's like, huh, so this is what the Chosen One is supposed to look like. And then to see Adam Cole just pop up. I swear, Triple H just is good at these things to where he's like, we know you know. We're not going to hide it, but we're not going to tell you when it's coming. But it'll hit you. It's going to come. Just wait. Just wait. Just let it marinate. Because I think I read something where they were talking about weeks ago that, oh, Adam Cole is going to debut on a regular NXT. Like, nah, that's a big thing. You got to do that on a big show. So he just sits there. He's not going to rush anything. He's not going to be. Trips is like, I'm going to let them sit. They're going to simmer. And as soon as you bring as soon as you open a pot, it's going to hit everybody at one time.
It's old school, man. It is very old school. I think there is a reason why it does so well. Is because it's not played out by the time you see it. Everything is still so fresh. They may have little skirmishes. They may have dueling promos. But they never really have a match or a tag team match or anything like that to kind of get you out of the loop. So when you actually see it, it's like, oh, this is like the first time they actually get ready to touch again. So like, this is the first time Ember Moon and Asuka have wrestled in like 9 months. Because Asuka got hurt, because Ember Moon got hurt for six when she, you know, when Asuka threw out the ring and she hurt her arm, her shoulder. So that was 6 months where she couldn't wrestle. And then they had like 3 months worth of this kind of build up going on. So by the time they wrestle again, it's like, oh man, I'm so ready to see this.
It's like that thing that you usually say on the live tweets of, why are they even, whereas on the main roster, they're always finding a way. They'll put them in tag matches. They'll put them in six-man tags. Like, don't even let them see one another. Don't even let them see one another in catering. Just leave them apart. And we know that it's coming. We all know that it's coming. So I'm, you know, that's what I'm hoping later on the main roster for something that's going to come up later. But I think that's what Triple H is. He's just like, they're not going to see one another, but you know it's coming. They're not going to touch. They're not even going to be in the same room. But when they finally get there, everyone is ready for it.
Yeah, man. So, you know, kudos again to NXT. Mauro Ranallo doing the damn thing on the commentary. It was fun listening to him all night, you know, throwing his references and get down. He was having a lot of fun. And so just, you know, good production all the way around.
That Cardi B reference he threw in there for Ember Moon. I was like, you know what? We know what Mauro listens to.
So now we move over to Sunday as we move into SummerSlam. We start off with the pre-show. Shout out to Didi Jonet, hashtag say no to pre-shows. We had The Mysterize versus the Hardy Boys and Jason Jordan in front of the production crew and the pre-show panel. And the popcorn vendors.
The hot dog guy.
And the ushers. Yeah. So probably about like 75 people. And most of those like were getting paid for the event. Saw this match. But Miz makes a blind tag. He saves Curtis Axel from a suplex. Miz then hits Jordan with the skull-crushing finale. And the Mysterize gets the win.
Are we in or out on Jason Jordan this early? Because it's not there yet.
Yeah. See, my thing that I said is he needs more rub from Kurt Angle. They're trying to distance him from Kurt Angle, but like, I want to do it on my own. But they needed to do some like family bonding type stuff. You know what I'm saying? Where he's like hanging around him all the time and, you know what I mean? Trying to like make up for lost time, but mm-hmm. it's in a way that you can kind of get behind him. It's funny or whatever, but yeah, they kind of need to go that route instead of him just having these wrestling matches. Cause he's not a person who can just grab you by wrestling.
Yeah. Cause they said that's one of the reasons why they stuck Gable with him in NXT. Cause Gable could talk. Gable had no problem talking, but Jason Jordan could wrestle. So it's kind of like, I think he just needs to get to that angry Kurt phase. Once we get to that heel phase, you know, I think as it goes more and more, then we'll finally get it. Because if you look at him, he looks kind of like an asshole.
Yeah, that would be like his natural persona, I think. Yeah, me too. I think that, like, you know, naturally he's probably just a jerk of a guy. And having him trying to be like this baby face is maybe stretching it a little bit. So we'll see if they decide to turn him. But, you know, we've been waiting for people to turn for 7 years or so. Still hadn't got
championships.
There yet. Yeah, still hadn't got there yet. So next up, we had Neville versus Akira Tozawa for the Cruiserweight title. Neville gets his knees up when Tozawa goes for the Atomic Senton Bomb. Neville then hits the Red Arrow, and Neville regains the Cruiserweight title. Another good match. Too bad Titus Worldwide, you know, got grand opening, grand closing on their title run. But, you know, there's some things brewing. So, you know, Neville holds the title, and, you know, he's better on the mic than Tozawa. So that's probably a big factor in where this is going.
Well, I liked what they were doing with Titus Worldwide. I don't like that they keep switching the titles between Tozawa and Neville. That's my only thing, is they could have let Neville simmer. Because if you watch some of the pre-show, even though it's Say No to Pre-Shows, he sort of was stewing. No, matter of fact, that was the Brooklyn Takeover. He was sort of stewing that entire night as they were talking to him on the pre-show panel. And it was kind of like, this was kind of fun seeing him, you know, kind of pissed off and even getting at Corey Graves for misdeeds. But I wish they would have let it simmer just a little bit more, but I think they just sort of put a rush on it for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Next up, second best match of the night, the Usos, Trap Usos,
Trap
versus The New Day.
Straight off 79, then Cottage Grove with the cocaine white Air Force Ones.
SmackDown Matters tag team title match. The Usos hit a trio of super kicks to Big E, then hit the double frog splash to get the pin, and the Usos regain the SmackDown tag team titles. This match was just really good. They had really good chemistry. Just so many, you know, high flying spots. Xavier Woods got his boogie on once again.
That Xavier, that spot where they threw him out of the ring and hit a Samoan drop on him on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Whoo, that was fire.
Yeah, that thing they call that the alley-oop, the alley-oos, I think is what they call that.
And the whole time we're live tweeting, it's like, how is this on the pre-show?
But I don't know, depending on where it would have got placed in the regular show, they wouldn't have got as much time as they got. This match got a lot of time.
That is true, because it was a long match that I think they were like, we know they're gonna put on a good match, so you know what, let's just go ahead and let them cook on the pre-show.
Right, because it was almost like 20 minutes. It's like 18-19 minute match. So again, Usos, SmackDown Matters tag team champions. Didi Jone, we'll, you know, raise our glass to her. I know she's happy. So now we get into the main show of SummerSlam, hashtag Summer of Slams. So we get John Cena versus Baron Corbin. John Cena takes advantage of Corbin rushing in, and he hits the AA, and he gets the win. So apparently the jet was running, as wherever Cena had to be, he had to be there quick, as he was in the quote-unquote curtain jerker of the main show. And Baron Corbin's long road to mediocrity continues.
See, it he's as mediocre as his hairline is. Once he just lets it go, he'll be all right. He might actually get a title reign once he cuts those strings that are just hanging on by every thread. Follicle is just holding on.
Now, I know there's a lot of ladies in the glow that probably would agree with you there. But John Cena, once again, young talent. People would say he, doesn't put anybody over. Didn't do the job for Baron Corbin. He did the job for Nakamura. But Corbin probably needed it more. But they didn't book it that way. So,
But for all intents and purposes, I mean, has Corbin really shown enough for them to put him over Cena? And especially what it looks like they're trying to do with him is trying to show his youthful mistakes that, yeah, he's tough and big, but he just does dumb stuff.
I think that's the new direction based off, the television that we've got to talk about. But before that, when he had the briefcase and he was walking around, he was a real badass. So I just wish they would have kind of stuck with that motif and the fact that, hey, John Cena cost me the Money in the Bank. If I wouldn't have got distracted with him, I would have been fine. So he should have been out for, more aggressive, more intensity. Just, open up a can and, get some retribution. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Would have been better for you if he opened the can of whoop-ass on Cena and still lost?
Yeah, because there's a way you can get over and still lose. It would have been better, though, if Baron Corbin opens a can of whoop-ass on Cena and he's injured and he has to go away. Then you really make a guy. And then he can come out there and talk about what he did to John Cena.
Well, supposedly Cena, actually I read this maybe a couple of days before. They said Cena actually had a 6-match losing streak at SummerSlam. So it was kind of time for him to get a W. They said he didn't lost since CM Punk in 2011. Since then.
Nobody remembers the SummerSlam barely from 2016. So let alone 5 more of them. So, what I'm saying? John Cena can afford to lose 2 matches in a row that people see. Oh my gosh, he's won 1,000 on house shows that nobody's seen in a row.
I have a thought in my head of the team, but it might be, if Cena must win because he's the new generation of Hogan.
Yeah, Hogan must pose.
Hogan must pose. Cena must win.
Right. So we had our SmackDown women's title match next as we had the challenger, Natty, versus the champion, Naomi. Naomi fights out the sharpshooter and goes for the split-legged moonsault, but Natty gets her knees up. Natty then gets Naomi back in the sharpshooter, and reluctantly, Naomi taps out, and Natty is your new SmackDown women's champion.
Pours a little out for her title reign.
Yeah, that was rough. She had tears, I think some of us might have had tears. It was good while it lasted, and I'm just glad that it happened and that she was healthy and she carried the title well. She got a chance to do her own thing and find herself and do something that worked for her outside of just being the,
the dancer.
Yeah, the dancer, athletic, black girl of the crew, so. One time for Naomi.
Naomi, we gonna miss the glow top.
Yeah, man. Hopefully she got to keep it. Like, they had another one on deck. Hopefully she got to keep that one. That's kind of like a keepsake of a definitely must-deserve title run. So
that goes down in the annals of the Smoking Skull Belt. I swear. Smoking Skull Belt, the spinner, and yes, I'll count the spinner belt because it was dope at the time. So I won't excuse that. I'll excuse that one.
Did you not like the Brahma Bull, the black WWE Championship belt that they had for a minute? That was kind of like the Rock.
I think I remember that one because it wasn't around very long, was it?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah, because the ones that's always stuck in my head was the Smoking Skull Belt and the Spinner Belt halfway because Edge, I remember Edge being on TV going, look, it spins. and being so excited at the fact that it really did spin.
That's a fidget spinner before we knew what it was. So we get Big Cass versus Big Show with Enzo up in the short cage as a special stipulation.
That was the bathroom match.
Enzo slips out of the shark cage, strips down to his BVDs, throws on a little baby oil or some sort of lubricant, slides through the bars of the shark cage, gets down, makes all this effort only to catch a big boot from Cass. Cass then hits Big Show with two big boots, followed by the Empire Elbow, and Big Cass is your winner.
I think someone said in a live tweet they missed the moment, the fact that they didn't give Enzo a mic while he was in the cage. But you could already hear him over everybody anyway, because the crowd was just as quiet until Enzo decided to put baby oil on himself. That was the best part of the match. Other than that, nobody cared.
Yeah, definitely nobody cared. Big Cass and Big Show, they just never got the chemistry. That was like the third time wrestling, and you know their matches never really got any better. Just, you know, sometimes just wrestling with the big guys like that just doesn't work out. So we'll see, you know, what's in the future going forward. Some things transpire. Yep. Next we get Randy Orton versus Rusev. Rusev attacks Randy Orton before the bell rings. Once the match starts, Randy hits an RKO out of nowhere to get the win. And these guys flew all the way to New York, did all that travel, hotel stay, media, and they got about 8 minutes worth of work from the time their names were called until they walked back to the back.
To me, it's still RK All Lives Matter with him, but I can't help it. I popped the hell out of my seat when I saw him hit the RKO because that came out of complete nowhere. Swear. Why he gotta have such a dope move? You should hear me at home. He's either RK All Lives Matter or RK AWOL. So, you know, gotta go between both of them.
Yeah, so good luck to Rusev. I don't know who he made mad, but it's still taking it out on him. So, next up, the Boss Bay, Sasha Banks versus the Goddess Cakes champ, Alexa Bliss, for the Raw Women's title. Sasha gets the bank statement, but Alexa fights out of it. Sasha then gets the bank statement again, and Alexa taps out, and Sasha Banks is your new Raw Women's Champion.
She's the four-time Raw. man, why the Bays got to fight one another, man? Why?
I don't know, man. I'm glad you feel my pain. It's rough.
You just don't know. You just be like, they're not fighting for a title. They're fighting for my heart. Like, I mean, I love that it's the Boss Bay champ again, but Goddess Cakes champ was fun.
Yeah, man. Alexa Bliss really showed me a lot. She showed me that she's improved in the ring a whole hell of a lot. It looked like, you know, she was carrying a lot of the match. Sasha was fighting from underneath, which is pretty good because she usually doesn't do that. She's usually very aggressive. But in this match, she, you know, sold a lot and took a lot of punishment. So I like that aspect of how the story was told. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, if the title changes Sasha Banks this time around. You know, she's a fourth time.
Yeah,
having it. She's never had like a real. She's never defended it once, as Alexa Bliss was quick to point out. So we'll see if she kind of gets more aggressive with this type of run.
I'm. I hope so. And I kind of need NXT Sasha back. I need that in my life. I need the boss boss. I know they're trying to. I know they're doing it for the kids. You know, got to do it for the kids. But I need the boss that was. That was going at Charlotte back in the day, you know, that
word.
That when she won the title, after she cried and Charlotte hugged her, she pushed Charlotte down and held the title over her head. So, you know, we need that one back. I just watched that the other day because that was one of my favorite Sasha moments. I was like, oh, be still my heart.
Yes, that's when I just realized, oh, you know what? She's got instant swag. the same way that I feel about Sasha Banks back in those days, it's the same way I feel about Montez Ford right now. It's like, yeah, I can't keep my eyes off of her when she's on the screen, and I can't keep my eyes off of him when he's on the screen, because he is just instant charisma.
I swear, I was a little scared about Montez Ford, but as soon as I saw it together, I was like, oh, this is my new favorite tag team.
So we get Bray Wyatt versus the Demon, Finn Balor. Bray does the spider walk, but it doesn't phase the Demon. The Demon hits the sling blade, the shotgun dropkick, and then the ultimate Kevin Sullivan foot stomp, and the Demon's Finn Balor gets the win over Bray Wyatt.
Can we be surprised when he turns into the Demon from now on? Because, you know, they really didn't have to telegraph it. I think that was the fun part when he was in NXT, is that you knew it was only going to come out for the big shows. And it's just like they announced it before. He's going to be the Demon. Like, don't do that.
Yeah. I was preaching that last week on last week's show. I was like, I don't like the way that they got here. I don't like that they announced it. I was like, you know, even though people may assume that, oh, we're going to get the Demon at what's the name at SummerSlam, at least let it be a shred that it might not happen.
You know, he could have, you know, they could have did, you know, something backstage to, you know, before he came out to signal that was coming. But it's just like, I don't know if they think people are just stupid and they don't know. I mean, we knew what was going to happen once he poured that red Vicks liquid over him. We knew that was going to happen. And it was like, he's going against the Demon King. Like, we know that's going to happen. Don't telegraph it. We know it's going to happen. Right. Let us enjoy the moment. Like when he did it against Seth at SummerSlam last year, it was cool because they hadn't seen it on the main roster. But now it's like, they're just like, telling us beforehand, take the fun right out of it.
Right. Bray Wyatt, poor Bray Wyatt. It's just like, the entrance is cool, but then nobody gets into his matches. I don't know. It's still the same problem he's had from 3 years ago. Like, even like, he won the world title, so, you know, people were into it because, you know, they wanted him to get a title run, but he really didn't get a strong title run. And I just don't know what he needs to do to connect with people when he wrestles.
I don't know what it is, because he has a great move set for all intents and purposes. It's just people don't get it. I can't figure out what it is that is missing. It's just they keep trying to do all of this stuff with him. Just let him wrestle. Just let him be creepy. But, you know, when he won the title, it was cool because, like you said, we've been waiting for him to have a title run 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was at the peak, when him and Cena were going back and forth. That's when that would have been the perfect time, after coming off that Cena feud from that Last Man Standing match, then move him into a different program and into a title picture. But I don't think Vince gets him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, he's just like, I don't get it. I don't understand his promos. I'm not, you know, I don't think he connects with it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very troubling because he could be so, so valuable to the company in so many ways. Next up, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose versus Sheamus and Cesaro for the Raw tag team titles. We have Sheamus and Cesaro set up to do the super white noise when Rollins does a springboard hurricanrana to Cesaro, who crashes into Sheamus. Rollins then super kicks both Cesaro and Sheamus. Then he hits Sheamus with the snowmaker. Dean gives Sheamus their dirty deeds, and we have new tag team champions. So the Shield, 66.6%, are your new Raw tag team champions.
You know, and usually I'm not a fan of when they throw two singles wrestlers in as a tag team, but seeing that tandem Snowmaker into the Dirty Deeds was really, really fun. But those four guys can go anyway, so it was already going to be a good match. But yeah, that ending was, I don't know what it is. I think just because we keep hoping that they do the Shield reunion, so even 2/3 of it is fine with us. But when we get all three of them together in that three-way match everybody wants, that's going to blow the roof off of it?
Maybe one day. Maybe one day. Like I said, that's their, those are their spades, so they just use them accordingly. And right now, it's not time to, you know, do it for Roman. He's still pretty much entrenched in the main event picture, so, you know, there's no need to cut your partner. So they'll just hold that one to themselves until it gets a little bit later, and they do need to cut their partner.
We get at WrestleMania not next year, probably the year after, because I'm sure Vince is probably like, we're going to get Roman and Cena or Brock. One of those.
Now, if you got three-way with those three, now that would be pretty dope.
That would be fun. For the Universal title. Yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be pretty dope. So we get, next up for the U.S. title, we get AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon, special guest referee. Shane and Kevin get into it, which lets AJ Styles hit the Styles Clash. Then he hits the Phenomenal Forearm, and he gets the win, and he retains the United States title. Shane McMahon did a really good job playing the I'm the authority figure in the ring guy. Him and Kevin Owens, of course, had some classic exchanges. You know, Kevin giving him the lip when, you know, he didn't think he was counting fast enough, or, you know, cheating him out of his opportunity. So AJ Styles, another great performance. I mean, what can you say? He is the man when it comes to baby faces in WWE right now.
Is it just me, or is it like they have the world title on SmackDown, but it seems like the better matches are taking place with the U.S. title, with Owens and Styles going back and forth over the U.S. title. And even though it's been switching between the two for a little bit, it's actually been more fun. I mean, I'm still gender gang, but it's still gender gang all day.
But. Yeah, the quality of workers in the programs are, you know, at two different levels. It's almost reversed. It seems like that, you know, the thing would have been to let gender have the U.S. title and kind of work his way into main event readiness before he got the world title. But, you know, they don't really do things that way anymore. That kind of old school build up a guy for 6 months, 8 months, so you can see him progress. And then when he does become world champion, you can be like, yeah, you know what? I did see it coming.
Yeah, but that was definitely a fun match. And are we going to get Shane and KO at Survivor Series, or you want to hold off on that one till Royal Rumble?
What would be cool is if they had teams, not like a singles match, but they had like a squad. Like, hey, like Shane McMahon starts screwing a bunch of guys, and Kevin Owens is like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Putting them in bad matches or things like that. And then, you know, Kevin Owens can get a bunch of guys together to have a gripe. And then, you know, Shane McMahon can have his guys that have benefited from what he's done. And then they have a match. And then, of course, Shane and Kevin are the last two. And then that's how you can get it to even make it to, like, Royal Rumble, where they have the one-on-one match.
Also, old school Survivor Series match, teams of five.
Right.
That would be fun.
Right. Just something to kind of switch it up and not just have a straight up, you know, get a small glimpse in first, and then get the major match when you can get it on Royal Rumble. Because, you know, a lot of eyes are on the Royal Rumble. That's, you know, I think SummerSlam is getting close, but I still think people enjoy and tune in for the Royal Rumble and watch the Royal Rumble second to WrestleMania.
You sure Royal Rumble? I always put Rumble. I think my order is WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and then Survivor Series. Off the top of my head.
I don't know, man. I for some reason, I always thought SummerSlam was like the number two also. But I think when it comes to what people watch and what they're like really into, I think the numbers would show that, you know, just by eyeballs on it, Royal Rumble is the second biggest one.
Yeah, because I think I saw somewhere they called SummerSlam like the, what did they call it? It was like the Smarks WrestleMania. It was like WrestleMania is for everybody, and you got to be a true fan if you're watching SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, WrestleMania is not even about like any of the TV anymore. It's just about the spectacle of having a wrestling match in a big ass arena or stadium, and then whatever happens, they just clean it up the next couple of weeks on TV. So, at least that's kind of the way it's been the last few years.
Yeah.
So next up, we get Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal, the modern day Maharaja Singh brothers in tow, of course. The Singh brothers get involved. What do you know? And they get hit with Kinshasas. Then Jinder hits the Colossus on Nakamura and gets the pin. And Jinder retains the WWE title.
Well, thanks to the Singh brothers, Nakamura can start his kick the head off everybody tour. I mean, it was a good match. I still want the Nakamura in NXT, and I don't know who's stopping him from doing it. It's just like it's almost there. We're getting like 70-80% Nakamura, and then it's just like they stop him at a certain point.
It's going to be interesting to see if they can find somebody to bring out the high level out of him. It's not going to be Jinder, because I mean, Jinder's still working his way into his spot as far as, you know, main event style. The one thing that was interesting was this match had a lot of juice to it. The crowd was really into it, because I think everybody really thought Nakamura was going to win, I think. And so it really had the crowd jazzed up. And then when Nakamura didn't win, they were really disappointed. It kind of took them a while to get into the flow of the main event, just because they were kind of bummed out. They thought they were for sure going to see Nakamura win the title.
They're probably going to stress that out too. But I think the only reason they're not putting a title on him is they're not letting him be who he's going to be. Like if they went back and watched the Zayn match that him and Sami Zayn had, that was Nakamura in like full bloom, where they just let him go. But I don't know what it is, because I think you could do strong style on a PG show, so they should have just let him go.
Yeah, maybe they don't have enough people who are willing to take the strong style.
That's true.
So, and you know, they don't want to have concussions and things like that, you know, so it may be just a health and kind of injury prevention type deal more than a creative.
Yeah.
With Nakamura right now, but we'll see. So next up, we get our main event of the evening. We get Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, and a fatal four-way for the Universal title. Roman goes to spear Brock. But Brock catches him and gives him the F5, and Brock Lesnar, after getting carted out, after being demolished by Braun Strowman, gets the win and retains the Universal title.
Braun moved all five boroughs that night. he literally became a superstar that night. It was like that night what he did to Roman Reigns that put him out there, you know, a while back. But what he did to Brock, every single time he put him through a table, I popped. And then at the end, just rolling a table on him. And just the fact that you see that Roman did the job and not Braun. They made sure. Or Samoa Joe. Yeah, or Samoa Joe. So they was like, you know, out of everybody in here, we're okay with Roman doing the job. Y'all don't really like him. But Braun just showed out. That was the biggest thing I got from the night. I was like, Braun just, it was like, where was all of this? And I was just reading somewhere they were talking about Braun. You know, if you look at where Bray and Braun was when Braun debuted, Braun was so down on the totem pole. He looked like he was green, but now he's just skyrocketed to where you could credibly see him win the title at the next pay-per-view and be like, you know what? I'm good with this. I'm good with this.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. He's definitely been protected and booked very well. He's gotten himself over because he understands that the more feats of strength he performs on Roman Reigns, the more the crowd will like him. And so by him tossing Roman Reigns around and beating Roman Reigns and putting Roman Reigns out has really endeared him to the crowd. So now that he's going against Brock, which is a match that everybody wants to see, he's been built up in a way where he's credible. And he's just not, you know, he's not been forced down your throat. He's taken his losses, but he's had his share of, you know, memorable matches and good wins too. So people are ready to see him get a title shot. Now, he may not be ready to be the champion, but the people are ready to see him get a title shot.
And he's throwing office chairs. Who the hell throws office chairs? I swear, every time I see that, I'm like, I've seen people throw, you know, they throw steel chairs because, you know, it's a steel chair. But he's like throwing office chairs like it's a baseball. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, he's a big country strong dude that is really improving every time he steps out. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he gets a title run, a short title run, or if they just have Brock continue to be dominant, ran through everybody. So that was SummerSlam. Overall, what you think?
It was really good. I could never, like, it's really hard to downplay, like, SummerSlam as a show alone. It was really good. When you try to parse it with TakeOver, you go, this could have been a lot better. But, I mean, because other than the Kaz Big Show match, everything was a pretty good match. And if you put the Uso New Day match on the main show, all together, the pre-show and everything, it was a really, really good show. It was about, yeah. You know.
I thought it was a good show as well. I thought that, you know, definitely the tag team match, the main event, definitely were standout matches. Thought Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks did very well. Just because they don't really like each other and they kind of just started out like a fight. It was just like, you know, they were just punching each other and wasn't too much wrestling going on. I was like, you know what? That's exactly the way they should be starting out. So I like that match a lot. So yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Like you said, now compared to TakeOver, you know, that's two different animals. Somebody said that it just may be the fact that Triple H is younger and more in tune to modern wrestling at this point in time, and what is the palette of a younger fan. And I think that NXT caters to a much younger audience than Raw, where Raw and SmackDown are more for like families, especially Raw, where they're more like for families. And so then they have a whole different style in which they wrestle and the way they book their wrestlers to wrestle, that it seems like it's staler than NXT.
Yeah, it's kind of like I was listening to Bruce Pritchard's show, and they said NXT is kind of like ECW back in the day. It's that fan base that's just, they know what they want, and when they see it, they love it. Whereas, you know, as soon as you see Raw, you know, just Raw, because SmackDown is for the most part always really good. You get to Raw, and you sort of like, okay, this is fine, it's good, you know, but.
Just doesn't stick with you a lot of times. A lot of it's just ho-hum, and for 3 hours of investment every week, seems like they could give you a little bit more.
If they could, we'll never get it down to 2 hours again, ever. But they need that middle hour is horrible. That middle hour sucks.
Well, we'll go right into Monday Night Raw real fast. We had Brock and Paul come out to celebrate. Of course, that brings Braun out because, you know, he's got to show his dominance. He doesn't say a word. He just tries to chokeslam Brock. Brock breaks free, but he catches a big boot from Braun. Then Braun gives Brock two running power slams, and he holds up the Universal title. And Brock notice. Probably Brock Lesnar, you have been put on notice.
I swear, he was like, look, this is going to be my title in a minute. Had his slick gray shirt on, too. He was like, I'm dressing nice for my new title's still on me.
We had our, you know, bizarre world part of the night where Kurt Angle comes out. He introduces John Cena. John Cena says he's back on Raw to confront one man eye to eye. Then Roman Reigns music hits and Roman comes out. And they have a square off. And they have a few words back and forth. And the crowd, they didn't know what to do with their booze. So they just came up with a very creative chant of "You both suck."
they just so.
They then started yelling for the Undertaker. The Smarks just were out of sorts. They were out of their element here because the two people that they loved to hate the most were now facing off against each other, and they had no one to really direct all their anger and vitriol at. So who comes to save the day? When it's The Miz. He comes out. The Miz cuts an awesome promo on both John Cena and Roman Reigns.
And about, the Brooklyn crowd.
Yeah, and the Brooklyn crowd. About having a moment and him getting his moment. He said they've had plenty of moments and plenty of chances to have moments, but he's never really had his chance. But he's here every day for 12 years, you know, just doing what The Miz does, spitting that hot fire, that truth. So then John Cena proposes a tag team match versus The Miz, anyone in The Miz to rock. But then Samoa Joe comes out, just says that he's going to be Miz's partner tonight. Then he talks trash to Roman. And he goes after Cena. They have a brawl. And eventually Roman and Cena clear the ring of Joe and The Miz and The Miz to Rush. So setting up a tag team match for later for our main event. We had a great match between Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and the Hardy Boys. They got a lot of time in this match. The champs get the win. Same combination as how they won the titles. We got the snowmaker into the Dirty Deeds. So that seems to be their new kind of finish. That was really good.
That was really good. And that was, you know, that was sort of the reverse from TakeOver. You got two babyface teams going head up, no cheating. It was a fun match. You know, sometimes I don't like watching two babyface teams or two heel teams go against one another. But that was a fun match. They actually made it. You really didn't care who won. You just wanted to see a really good match, which is what they gave us.
Exactly. Sasha and Alexa, they exchange words. Alexa says that she wants her rematch for the title next week in Memphis. Jason Jordan comes out, says he wants to, get a big piece of chicken. He wants to face Finn Balor. So that goes down. Finn hits him with the three moves of doom, and he gets the win. Jason Jordan still not over. Like I said, he's not going to be able to wrestle his way into being what they want him to be.
But he shows some fight, though, because right when he, you know, tried to do a handshake and Finn kicked him, after that point, it was like, it was just one of those, this is what we're doing now. And it looked like he got more aggressive and started slamming him with some more emphasis, and it was like, that's what we need. You need to do some more. We're good on this. As long as you're aggressive in these matches, I think that's the only way his wrestling get over is that he needs to be aggressive. And it's like he's just been all nice and, Kurt Angle said I'm going to throw a few suplexes. But when he got angry, that's when it got fun.
Right. So we've got the Cruiserweight match. That was pretty fun. Cedric Alexander hits a lumbar check on Tony Nese.
Is that the best finisher right now?
Yeah, it always looks so good, regardless of who takes it. It just looks like it just, you know, like it does break every vertebrae in your back. That's why I call it the lumbar check. We had the Drifter. He's getting over. He had not one, but two songs on the pre-show.
Hey, I walk with Elias. All the hobo spots.
He's singing a song. R-Truth comes out there, interrupts Elias. They have their match. Elias gets a win with Drift Away. Nia Jax is on another winning streak as she beats Emma.
Beat the brakes off of her.
Yeah, she made fun of Emma's hashtag and said she's going to turn Give Emma a Chance as to give Emma CPR, and that's pretty much what she did. And unfortunately, somebody who didn't need CPR but did need medical attention of another kind, Big Cass, in the opening match that nobody cared about, that nobody wanted to see, basically blows his knee out and can't finish the match in the Brooklyn Street Fight. And now he is going to be on the shelf for several months. I haven't heard the latest news on if it's an ACL or, one of the lesser ligaments, but it didn't look good, and it doesn't sound good for Big Cass right now. So
yeah, it looked horrible because when he hit the ground coming over the ropes, you just saw it, and I was like, his foot came down really, really hard. He didn't come down in the way you were supposed to. So I like looked at there, and I was like, his leg was, it wasn't a flat bump. It was more like that foot came down, and it was like, yeah, that looks really bad. And then when he got in the ring, and I was sitting up here watching it with my cousin, and I saw them, throw the X up. I was like, oh, that was real. That was real injury, because as soon as he started moving, you just saw his leg give. I was like, yep. Mm-mm. But why did they even do that match? Nobody cares.
Yeah, I don't understand either. I don't understand why they did the match either. It was a nothing match for a nothing program that was over with. He'd already beat him last night. So, main event of Raw, we had John Cena and Roman versus Miz and Samoa Joe. Cena counters the Skullcrest finale into the AA. John Cena and Roman Reigns, they get to win. I was hoping that they could have teased the tension and let Miz and Samoa Joe win and kind of, you know, have that uneasy, I can't trust you, got to watch my back, or, you know, just gives a little bit more than the kumbaya, hey, we teamed up and make a good tag team story between John and Roman.
Well, I'm hoping that they get deeper into that, but then we get serious Cena, because serious Cena is fun. This dopey, silly Cena is stupid. It's just, you know, when you go back and especially watching the old promos where I think Cena was heel back then, but that's just me, to where he was just, where he was cutting promos on Undertaker, and the fact that the attitude adjustment was the FU reserved for Brock Lesnar. That part was fun, but you know, the goofy ones about I'm here for one guy and looks into the camera. I'm like, ugh. This is what makes us not like you at times, Cena. Just be serious.
Jason, you wanted Finn tonight. You got your wish, and despite things not working out the way you had planned it, what were your takeaways from the match tonight?
You know, I wanted Finn Balor because he's one of the top superstars that we have in WWE, period. You know, it's in my blood. I was born to be at the top. I asked for Finn because I wanted to show that I belong. You know what? I didn't come out on top. I didn't get the victory. But I proved tonight and to everybody in this entire arena, everybody in the world who was watching, I belong at the top. And I'll be there.
Well, we want everybody to be serious and support our sponsors here at CSPN.us. Please go through the network when you do some shopping on Amazon. Go through the website. Click on says support our sponsors, support our podcast banner at the top of the page. Click on Amazon, do your shopping like you normally would. Give some of that money back here to the CSPN so we can keep all the podcasts free throughout the whole network. So CSPN.us and Amazon, do it today. Next up, SmackDown Matters. We get AJ Styles, comes in the ring, does promo. Welcome to everybody to the house that AJ Styles built. He issues the United States Open Challenge. Kevin Owens accepts. Of course, AJ is like, oh, hell no. I just beat you the other night, fair and square. We ain't got no need to wrestle. Then Owens goes on a promo about Shane and, you know, the bad job that he did refereeing the match and the reason why he needs to, you know, get one more shot at the match. That, of course, brings Shane out to defend himself. Shane and Owens go back and forth. Shane grants Owens a match, says, yes, you'll get the title match, but you got to find your own ref since I wasn't good enough and nobody here seems to be good enough. But this is also your last chance at AJ Styles and the U.S. title.
And AJ not being PG.
Oh, he did call that man a whiny ass bitch at one point.
I was like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Like, I know this is scripted, but we got to fight right then and there. You ain't going to just sit in my face and call me a whiny-ass bitch. We going to fight.
Yeah, so then we get Dan Bryan. He's on the phone. He said he has some surprises for tonight. Then the Singh Brothers and Jinder come in. Bryan says that since the Singh Brothers like to get involved, they're going to have a match tonight against Nakamura in a handicap match. Then we get Kevin Owens in the back trying to secure a referee. First person he comes upon is Sami Zayn, his old pal. Kevin tells Sami that they go way back. Owens says he needs somebody that he can trust to ref his match. Owens tells Sami that he knows he ain't doing nothing tonight and just think about it.
Why did he walk up to him like Smokey on Friday? Like, look, you ain't got nothing else to do.
I mean, that's how you do with your boy, man. You know, if it wasn't his boy, I don't think he would have been as confident or as laid back with the way he approached him.
Because he just approached him like, man, you ain't doing nothing. You ain't got no match. I've already seen you.
In English, he's in the ring. He's doing his singing when he's cut off by Bobby Roode and the glorious ring music. So Bobby Roode makes his fantastic entrance with the red and yellow robe, the, you know, spinning on the pedestal, the long walk, the lights. Yeah, it was great. It was great. Aiden English then comes down and they have a match. Bobby Roode hits the spine buster. Danny gets the win with the Glorious DDT. Then Bobby Roode does a post-match interview in the ring with Renee Young. So what did you think of the debut for Bobby Roode?
Oh, I popped the hell out of my seat for that. Because for one thing, I was a Roode fan even when he was stuck in Impact. And now since he's come up, now since he's been in NXT and now on SmackDown, that was worth all of it. And then to come down, whenever the whole crowd is singing your theme, you're already over before you even get into the ring. But my thing was, I know they tried to make it even, but they really didn't need to give English so much offense. I was like, I could have did without that, but you know, it is what it is. But overall, it was a good match, and just the fact that now he might be what, the number two or three heel if they go that route with him on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still Kevin Owens is still the number one heel on SmackDown. That he owns that.
Heel to the end, tell a friend, bitch. Yeah. Bobby Roode definitely could be the number two heel. And he's one of those, like, you know, classy, I'm better than you, you know what I'm saying? You know, you beat him and he has like a million excuses type of heels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, they just haven't had one of those on SmackDown yet since they, you know, split the brands up.
So how long before he takes the number two spot from Corbin? What, next week?
Three weeks at the most.
Next week?
The surprise is on over. Daniel Bryan delivers again as he calls Chad Gable into the office. Tells him he made a deal with Kurt Angle in exchange for Jason Jordan. He says that Kurt Angle has helped him sign one of Kurt Angle's longtime friends, and it's Shelton Benjamin. Daniel Bryan thinks that they should team up and become a tag team, and then next week they'll have their first match. Now, Chad Gable was all excited and geeking out because, just like us, he's a big Shelton Benjamin fan, world's greatest tag team, maybe the greatest Monday Night Raw match in the history of Monday Night Raw with Shawn Michaels, ooh, at least the greatest finish ever. And then Shelton Benjamin was like, I don't know who this little dude is, and why y'all trying to make me tag with him already? I just got here.
Like, look, why I got to do this? But I don't think that's going to last very long. I think it might last maybe a week because I think I could see Shelton turning on him. And if so, I'm good with that.
Well, they could go that route, but I don't know if they would do that just because they're kind of thin in the tag team ranks. And that would be a hell of a program to see Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable versus the Usos. In a long match for the titles. I mean, that could be really fun. So, yeah, there's some ways they could go, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see exactly what they do.
Sure.
Sami Zayn says that he's thought about the offer from Kevin Owens, and he refuses to be the ref after thinking about all the bad things Owens has done to him over all these years. So, back to the drawing board for KO.
I mean, why he got to bring up old stuff? He ain't did nothing to him in what, good 3 months? At the very least. That should have been the next thing. Why you got to bring up old stuff? See, that was in the past. Let's move on.
Right. Next, we get the Hype Bros versus the Usos in a non-title match. The Usos hit the super kick on Zack Ryder, and the Usos get the win. And then they cut a nice little promo afterwards, just reminding everybody that they are the champs, and you are now in the Usos penitentiary, and it's not the paranoia, it's the Usos.
Who would have thought we would be at this level with them?
I don't know, man. I know I didn't. I mean, I didn't think that they had it in them to actually be heels, because I always thought that they would just be cut out to be the, you know, high-flying babyface tag team, and they don't even high-fly no more, really, except for, you know, Frog Splash finish. But for the most part, they've just reinvented everything that they're doing, their look, their promo, and it's working. They definitely are one of the most entertaining parts of SmackDown at the moment.
That's why, for right now, their day one will still be H. I can't get over that.
Next, we get Nakamura versus the Singh brothers. Nakamura gets the win when he makes one of the Singh brothers tap out to a triangle choke. Jinder then attacks Nakamura, but Nakamura gets the best of the encounter, and he hits Jinder with the Kinshasa. First of all, Jinder, you can't be out here trying to scuffle around with Nakamura and some Gucci loafers, dog. You know, you got no traction. Them things too expensive. You can bust, you know, you can bust a shoe, you know, trying to, you know, tussle with Nakamura. It's just not cost effective, man.
He had that Dwayne Wade on with no socks too. I was like, bro, you can't be out here with no socks on in the ring. You just begging to get kicked in your head.
The Singh brothers were out there in their finest club attire. They didn't have their ring gear on. They was out there in just their slacks and their button downs. Looked like they was ready to, you know, hit the strip club right afterwards.
They was in that Free Before 11 wear.
One thing I can say about the Singh brothers, man, damn, they can wear an ass whooping.
I swear, because I mean, they was definitely getting that ass whooped. But we saw that from when Randy Orton was basically trying to break I can't remember which Singh brothers vertebrae.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That produced a pretty awesome gift from Randy. Was he made that face because he knew he fucked up.
Like, ooh, shit, that looked like that shit hurt. My bad. Like he went up to him afterwards, like, you know, my bad. I didn't mean to do all that, but because that shit looked like that hurt.
Yeah, it looked really good on TV, though. So next, Owens comes across the Fashion Police. They offer to be his guest referee. Owens shuts that idea down and yells at them to go away. Baron Corbin then pops up on the scene and offers to be the special ref. Corbin has a condition, though. He says he wants to have the first title shot when Owens wins. Owens agrees and throws him the ref shirt. Next, we get Natalya. She does an in-ring promo on her win over Naomi at SummerSlam. Carmella comes out to congratulate her. Carmella says that tonight might be the time that she becomes champion, and Ellsworth teases a possible cash-in later tonight.
I swear, Ellsworth is that dude that sit up there and say, look, we're just going to library. No, we about to go to this club. Like, no, shut up.
He tells everything he knows, huh?
Yeah, just shut the fuck up. No,
he's really, really morphed well into the role of being a hype man for her.
He really has, because I really was just like, this is really stupid. Are we still doing this? But he's actually been funny since she's won the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Mm-hmm. And they're instant heat magnets. I mean, the people just lose it when they see him and her out there together. So, you know, that part of it is definitely working for her. She's getting the desired reaction. And you can't say that about a lot of heels in WWE, male or female right now, so. Yeah. Becky Lynch and Naomi versus Natty and Carmella tag team match. Natty makes the tag to Carmella, who was basically trying to stay on the outside the whole time and basically, you know, tease the fact that she's trying to get Natty wore down so that she may be able to cash in on her. Of course, Carmella isn't happy that she got tagged in. That allows Becky Lynch to hit the exploder suplex. Naomi then hits the split-legged moonsault and glow fire get the win. Naomi definitely is feeling much better as she's starting to do the split-legged moonsault again, which is so pretty. I mean, next to Rob Van Dam, she does it the best. It was real funny to see Carmella try to just, you know, stay on the outside and not take the tag from Natty, and Natty just got fed up and just, like, basically ran into her, so she had to come into the ring, and we got to finish from there. So, pretty entertaining.
Well, that was Natty's fault. How you gonna tag as champion with the chick that got the Money in the Bank briefcase? That just sounded like, yeah, I'm gonna just wait till you get beat down, and yeah, I'm just coming to do it then. But are we good, or does Carmella's bodysuit make it into the Creepcast, or are we still waiting for approval for that? I'm on the border. I'm on the fence on that one.
I'm on the fence with you as well. I think it's all about angles.
Yeah, you know. I haven't seen a good angle just yet. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So the jury is still in deliberation. Dolph Ziggler comes back. He says he knows what it takes to be a star in WWE. He He starts to run down a whole bunch of people's gimmicks, and then he says that's exactly what he'll do next week. So don't know what he's got underneath his sleeve, but
so okay. Dolph is still going to be a hater. So he went from Dolph to HB Ziggles to now being a hater. Oh, okay. That'll work.
Lana, she tells Tamina that next week they start Tamina's journey to becoming the most feared woman on SmackDown. I don't know what they got planned for Tamina, but hopefully Lana can you know, be an asset. And it'd be cool to see Auntie Tamina get the title.
I swear, you think they're gonna try to do what they've been doing with Nia Jax with Tamina finally?
Maybe, but you know, there's Charlotte, there's Becky Lynch, there's a lot of other women that will probably, you know, be in front of her, so it's gonna be a little bit tougher road for her to just do a complete Nia Jax. They seem to have more lesser, you know, lower talent on Raw that Nia Jax can run through than they do on SmackDown. It seems like they have a higher caliber women's division over on SmackDown, top to bottom.
Well, the streets really need that Charlotte Tamina match because they keep teasing it. Streets need that to happen because the two Money in the Bank matches that they were in, they looked like they were going to tear down the house. Them two alone.
I thought I was the only other. I thought I was the only person who actually thought that too. So thank you for saying that because I totally thought the same thing. Like I think I put that out on Twitter. I was like, you know, after seeing this Money in the Bank match, the match I really want to see is Tamina and Charlotte. I was like, because they were going at it, and you know, she's just about the same height as Charlotte. You know, what I'm saying she's got the weight advantage, but they can do some pretty good things together. So hopefully, we get that match eventually.
Yeah, hopefully we get it soon because those two, they really look like those two could go, but you know, they might try to hold off on that one for a while.
Baron Corbin and AJ in the back. Corbin tries to make a deal with AJ. AJ says it's really no use because if he wins the title, there's going to be an open challenge every week. So he was like, you know, stop playing yourself. AJ Styles versus Kevin Owens, U.S. title match. Baron Corbin is your guest referee. Styles gets Owens in the calf crusher. Owens fights for the ropes and barely grazes them, which leads to Corbin calling for a break. AJ and Corbin get into it, which leads to an Owens roll-up for a near fall. Shane comes out and starts yelling with Corbin about how terrible he was at being the ref. Owens hits a low blow that Shane sees but Baron doesn't, and when Corbin goes to make the count, Shane pulls Corbin out of the ring. Corbin gives Shane the ref shirt, and Shane takes over as the ref. AJ hits a phenomenal forearm, and AJ Styles gets the win and retains the U.S. title.
So they're just going to keep setting the seeds up. We all know it's coming. It's going to be Shane and KO down the line. And it's just – Corbin was a horrible ref because he really was like, you know what, Kevin, if you get really, really close, I'm going to just go ahead and hit this three real quick. Just come on. You almost there because AJ didn't – go ahead.
I was just saying he was doing fast counts and all of the typical, you know, kabuki-ish stuff that heels do when they are guest referees.
No, it was, and then here comes Shane to basically take over. So, if we only had Talking Smack still.
Yeah, that would have been a fantastic episode of Talking Smack with Kevin just going ballistic.
Whew, that would have been fun.
Daniel?
Hey, Chad.
You want to see me?
Yeah. I know it's got to be difficult with your tag team partner getting moved over to Raw. I just wanted to say I was sorry.
That's all anyone really wants to talk to me about nowadays is Jason Jordan and his dad, Kurt Angle. But I'm trying to worry about my future.
And I'm worried about your future, too. Which is why I didn't just give Jason Jordan to Raw. I made a deal with Kurt Angle. Jason Jordan goes to Raw, and in exchange, Kurt Angle helps me to sign one of his friends. And I think this person might be a great new tag team partner for you.
Okay.
Chad, let me introduce you to Shelton Benjamin.
Shelton Benjamin, this is so sick. You're not going to regret this. This was great. Look, I have followed you for, I'm talking back to your college days. I know everything. I'm a Minnesota guy, too. Did you know that?
What are you kidding? Of course I know that. I followed your career.
And if you guys are cool with it, why don't you guys take this new tag team out for a test drive next week?
Cool with it? Of course we're cool with it, aren't we? You don't even have to ask us twice. Come on. Let's go, Sheldon. Come on.
Welcome to SmackDown.
Thanks, Danny. You see how this goes on.
The big fallout from 205 is that Tozawa and Neville had their Cruiserweight title rematch. Tozawa misses the Atomic Senton Bomb. Neville then applies the rings of Neville, and Tozawa taps out. Neville then cuts a post-match promo, which gets interrupted by Enzo Amore. Enzo tells Neville that 205 just became the realest show in the room. So Enzo is now, I don't know if he's a full-fledged member of 205, but he has appeared on 205, and maybe the burial and removal from Vince McMahon's site is complete.
That's where he should have been as soon as they broke up him and Cass. Just like, yeah, come and cut a couple of promos, but leave quickly. But that might actually bring up 205 Live, because I know I was I'm in one of my wrestling Facebook groups. Somebody was talking about the fact that people were leaving 205 Live early, but I'm like, you already go through Raw, which is 3 hours. It's really hard to sit for another hour,
right?
Without really a break. So if they did it before, it would be another story. The crowd would be hyped for it, but for whatever reason, Vince just doesn't. It's like, it's fine. No, not that many people leave.
Right, right. Yeah, the atmosphere definitely makes for whether it's a good show or not, because the wrestling is usually pretty good. I say that like every week when I review the show, like, hey, this was a good match, or this was a pretty good match. But like you said, the crowd just not being into it and being just so dead, you know. If 205 is for the kids, a lot of the kids are gone by the time it starts because they got to go to school, or, you know, it's just a late night. So hopefully they'll do some rearranging with that. Another standout match was they had a rematch. Cedric Alexander, Grand Metalik, Drew Gulak, and Tony Nese. Grand Metalik is that dude. He put on, he's a master of the ropes. So he did a couple of nice little spots where he does a little triangle walking of the ropes. He did a couple of, springboard moves off the ropes. And I think that he may actually be one of the few guys who can actually get people, into 205 Live and get people talking that actually stay there, because he got a bunch of oohs and ahs and had to crowd pretty perked up when he was in there. And Brian Kendrick beat down Jack Gallagher when they were supposed to have a duel, and so next week he challenges Jack Gallagher to a no DQ match. So standout things that happened on 205 Live. NXT was mostly a review show. No Way Jose comes down to open the show. He's got the crowd crunk. They're doing the conga line, and then Lars Sullivan, the guy who put out one of the best memes ever last week.
He threw him in a garbage can.
Yeah, where he threw my man and his tag team partner in the garbage can after their match. He basically attacks No Way Jose from behind, basically destroys No Way Jose, and that's how we start the show. Peyton Royce beats Sarah Logan with the Fisherman Suplex. They show Bobby Roode backstage after his loss at TakeOver. He's trying to get out of the arena. When Bobby Roode gets a visit from an old stranger, it's Roderick Strong, who blows Bobby Roode a kiss. So they're going to have their match coming up soon. And then we get Tyler Bate and Trent Seven versus Pete Dunne and Wolfgang. Wolfgang gets the blind tag. Tyler Bate hits Dunne with the Tyler Driver 97, but Dunne isn't the legal man. Wolfgang hits the high angle senton bomb and pins Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne and Wolfgang get the win. It was really cool to see the British guys on this show. They're a good fit with NXT, since, you know, we don't know when the British show is going to be made, or if it's ever going to be made, as it was kind of suspended due to WWE making these substantial budget cuts. So, just a few months ago, Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne had probably the third best match of the year in all of wrestling. So it was good for them to get a chance to be seen again, and people don't forget just how good, you know, these four guys are.
Yeah, and matter of fact, I was just watching it a little bit earlier today, and one of the, I think Mauro said, Pete Dunne at 23 has 12 years of experience. Like, the hell? So literally before he began puberty, he was already wrestling. Oh, okay. But I just like the chemistry between Dunne and Bate. It's just for whatever reason, those two can go head to head. If I don't, for whatever reason, I don't think we're getting the UK show, even though they have their own network. They don't even have to worry about ratings. You have your own network, so you can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't make sense.
They had these projections.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
They're substantially going to come in well under the projections. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to make up the difference to get closer to their projections. And so that's the reason why you've seen shows get canceled off the network. That's why you've seen, you know, the cut back in the pyro. That's why you've seen, you know, no movement on the, you know, cruiserweight show and things like that. So, you know, it's just a time where their business is like they have less people attending and watching, but they have people paying the most they've ever paid to come to see it. So they're in that strange conundrum where they need to grow their business, but at the same time, they're charging people so much to come see it that, you know, they're making up for the lack of people.
Yeah, I think I heard something about that where they said they projected 30 million in profits and there's something like at 5 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, they're really low. They're really low. Well, I mean, they can't make money if you give the network away, and that's what you're supposed to be basing your whole new, you know, large, you know, money stream, because the USA money is USA money, but I don't think that counts towards any of this, you know, projection type stuff. I think that's kind of like already spoken for.
But that's their fault for giving away the network, because it's like every... I was the idiot that when they said it went live, what was it, like February 24th or something like that, mm-hmm. when they said it went live at such and such at 9 a.m., I was already watching stuff at 8:50. I was on it. I wasn't playing. I was like, oh, wait, I can put it in now? All right, bet, I'm in. But then it's like every month, and if you're slick enough, you just go like this. I'm only going to keep it for SummerSlam, or I keep it for WrestleMania, and then I'll cut it off and then just come back, because then it's another free month. Mm-hmm. So then it's like pointless for you to pay $10 a month when they're just like, oh, we're going to give it away for free. Oh, we're going to give it away for free. So it's their own fault, because them broadcasting, it should be like this. Look, you got this amount of time. If you don't get it, you don't just don't get it. You just SOL. You just wait till the next month and you pay for it. You might get a free week, but you're not getting a free month, because if you get a free month, you're not worried about the next month.
So that was just a quick run through NXT. And next we'll have Lucha Underground as we're coming down to the home stretch, coming into Ultima Lucha Tres, as we had a mask versus mask match between Vienno and Sexy Star. Joey Ryan runs out, rips off Vienno's mask, and exposes that it's Cortez Castro. Ryan and Castro start to brawl. Ryan hits a low blow and runs to the back. Dario Cueto is meeting with Johnny Mundo and his agent. Johnny and his agent give Cueto the spiel about not being appreciated enough. Mundo tells Cueto he could have been injured in that big brawl they had last week, and he has places he could go who want him if he doesn't, you know, Cueto doesn't shape up. Lucha Underground start appreciating him. Dario tells Johnny everybody is banned from ringside, even the Worldwide Underground. Mundo makes a threat to leave if things ruin his night and he doesn't walk out with his title. So we get the finals of the Cueto Cup. We have Prince Puma versus Pentagon Dart. Puma hits the top rope Hurricane Rana, which leads to the 6:30 splash, and Puma gets the win. Puma will face the Lucha Underground champion at Ultima Lucha Tres. Yeah, this was a really good match, really fast-paced match, hard-hitting match. You know, Pentagon Jr. doesn't really play around. Prince Puma is fantastic, one of the best flyers ever. You know, like DD always says, so much action, it's really hard to keep up with it, to try to give you a fair description of what they packed into like a 9-minute match. But yeah, it is really good.
I swear that 6:50 was beautiful that Puma pulled at the end. And just a normal question. So if Pentagon Jr. keeps losing these big matches, is he just going to keep changing colors until he wins a big match? So since he, you know, now he's Pentagon Dark, is he going to be Pentagon Turquoise, wine colored? You know, there's a lot of choices he can go through at this point, because he keeps, like, he gets to the point of the big match and then he loses. So
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought of it that way. That's a very astute observation. We'll have to stay tuned to Lucha Underground and see what's the next reincarnation for Pentagon Dark. So we got our main event, the match that we've been building up to for like a good 6 weeks, 8 weeks now. It's Rey Mysterio Jr. versus Johnny Mundo for the Lucha Underground title. The build for this match was really good. They had a bunch of training vignettes, you know, montages, you know, them talking about respecting their opponent and, you know, this is going to be the fight of their life and it's going to be, you know, a classic. And then, you know, of course, we had the incident with the Worldwide Underground and Dominic and so, you know, this has been all building to this point. Johnny Mundo tries to hit Rey with the title belt while the ref was down, but Dominic arrives and takes the belt away from Johnny Mundo, and he takes him down with a double leg. The security comes after Dominic, who was able to escape through the crowd. Rey hits the 619 and the springboard frog splash, but Dario Cueto pulls the ref out of the ring. Cueto takes a shot at Rey Mysterio, which leads to Mysterio giving Dario Cueto the 619. Johnny Mundo then hits Mysterio with the title belt, then he hits the End of the World, and Johnny Mundo retains the Lucha Underground title. This was a really good match. You know, Rey Mysterio doing the moves that he can still do at his age. Doesn't seem like he's missed a step. It's cool that they, you know, got his son involved, Dominic again. And for the most part, Johnny did it all by himself. So that was a nice little touch to see, as he's been getting a lot of help from the Worldwide Underground in a lot of matches.
Good question, though. Who has less knee ligaments left, Rey Mysterio or Derrick Rose? Because I say it like that, but Rey has had all these awful knee problems. But that was fun putting Dominic in the match, because, you know, somewhere his real poppy is smiling down on heaven from him. So. But no, I was watching a match, and any time Johnny Mundo wrestles is amazing. But it was just like he had to do even more, just because Rey can't do what he was doing, you know, 10, 15 years ago. It's just not physically possible. Mm-hmm. But it seemed like they upped it by adding more and more violence. Like, you see how it was a spot over near the announcer's table where you could see Rey's mask half ripped off. So it, you know, it was just like, we're going to do as much as you can, and whatever you can't do, I got you.
Right.
But
right.
But they showed out, and Rey, you know, whatever knee ligaments that are hanging on by Kawhi Leonard's old braids, he was doing it.
Yeah, this was really entertaining. This was definitely a good payoff to the long build up. This was a match that was, like I said, they had a really long build up. They only touched like one time before they actually wrestled, so that was cool. Even with the run-ins, you know, mm-hmm. It wasn't enough to take you out of the match. It kind of just went along with the story. So, really good episode of Lucha Underground, and Ultimate Lucha Tres is coming up, and we'll see if Prince Puma can capture the world title from Johnny Mundo.
Oh, and the other thing that they put in that I liked, it that I don't think I've seen since, what was that, SummerSlam 2002, where they had the training montage, when they, remember back when they had Brock and Rock training?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They need to bring that back, because that's fun to watch when it's just like, they're just like, yeah, I'm training for such and such, and it's like watching Rocky IV or something.
Yeah, that's always a good touch. It definitely helped out in this match, because, you know, it basically helped propel the story that Rey Mysterio, even though he's older, he still got a lot of respect from Johnny Mundo, and Johnny Mundo wasn't taking him lightly, like he's kind of taking a lot of his other opponents as his time as champion. So just showed Rey Mysterio a lot of respect by Johnny, you know, working so hard to get ready for the match. So that was this weekend in wrestling. Very busy, as you know, we had the two big events start off the weekend in Brooklyn, and then, you know, WWE spending four nights in the same venue. We'll get into it at the end of the show. Beach Ball of Mania, man. Cesaro, during his match, jumped out during the middle of the match when the crowd got a little restless and grabbed the beach ball and ripped it to shreds. And, you know, a lot of people were giving him thumbs up on, you know, social media and About Time and all this stuff. And then we fast forward to Raw, and Beach Ball's come back out, and John Cena stops the match and just basically says, hey, man, I encourage what you're doing. Express yourself. Go home. Be happy. And it looks like it has emboldened the WWE universe to now just break out beach balls because they said it was real bad at SmackDown and that they were, you know, a lot of people got thrown out. A lot of beach balls got confiscated. So what's your take on Beach Ball-O-Mania, man?
It's, I wish Cena wouldn't have encouraged them. It's fun, like the, you know, the Raw after WrestleMania, you know, it's whatever. Not after every, not at every show now. And I think when Cesaro did it, because I cracked up laughing at it. I got a kick out of it. I think I tweeted, I was like, see, you know what? He hates beach balls. He just hates America or something like that as a joke. And somebody said, well, you know what? He is from Switzerland. They don't have summer. So, so I'm just like, it is what it is, but it's like 20 million people bringing beach, you know, 20,000 people bringing beach balls. It ain't fun no more. Y'all, it's like y'all took fun. Y'all like just stomped it. And it's like, one is fine, but you know, you didn't have to bring 20 of them just to be like everybody else. I mean, I put the folks bringing that many beach balls there up with the folks that still booing Roman Reigns for having a good match. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't really like that Cena encouraged it. I thought that, you know, it sucks that the crowds come there to hijack, you know, some of the program when matches aren't up to the caliber that they expect them to be, or they don't have any interest in the two people who are wrestling. You know, do what you normally do, which is just sit there and be quiet. Everybody gets it. You know what I'm saying? That's just as effective as, you know, doing the wave or throwing a beach ball out. I think that's very disrespectful to the to the guys in the ring, because you're there to see them, not and the people on TV, not to distract them from, you know, the product in the ring. So I wish Cena would have kind of ran a little harder line on it like Cesaro did, which was, you know, he made his stance very clear on how he feels about it. And I don't think anybody has any gray areas about what he meant by going in the crowd and ripping that beach ball up. So hopefully it doesn't become an epidemic and it's, you know, more of an isolated thing and than a trend, because, you know, I don't want it to start taking over. Every time you watch TV, you see this freaking beach ball floating around when there's a good match in the ring.
Yeah, that would annoy the hell out of me. I'm sorry. They bring a beach ball to me, I'm gonna tear it up. I don't even care. Look, I'm not here for this. I paid the ticket. I'm not at the beach. So guess what?
Well, at this point, man, unless you get out of here, so we'll do our shout outs and thank yous. So I'll turn it over to you for any shout outs. Let the people know where they can follow you on Twitter.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Quantessential R.
Spell that for the folks. Hoovy, sure. Spell that for the people.
Sure. Quantessentialr. It was the old poetry name in college, so I kept it. So the something like the prototype or the essence of something like that. So I thought it was creative as hell. Shout outs my cousin Chris, that's my wrestling watching buddy. Let's see. Trying to go down the list. My folks in the den of wrestling nerdery, my folks at True Hardcore Wrestling Fans, both of those are like Facebook groups that I'm in. Shout out to everybody in the live tweet. Don underscore Victor, you are a complete terrorist. Just thought we all know this. I still ain't forgot you put a crying Jordan on my face for missing the Hardys coming out of WrestleMania. I ain't forgot, man. But shout out to my boy Eric, shout out to my cousin John, shout out to all the wrestling fans out there, especially the black wrestling fans that I've become a part of this community of. I thought I was like the only one who was all in as much as I am, so shout out to all y'all.
All right. I'd like to thank Quantessential R, of course, for stopping by, coming in, booked him last minute, so thankfully he was available to come do this. Give a big shout out to Sam, Dee Dee and Greg, who couldn't make it this week, but of course are always here in spirit, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to a combination of them next week. Give a shout out to Classic for all the hard work he's going to do, putting in all the audio that will make the show sound so much better once it's mixed and remastered. He's the greatest producer in the world. We'll give a special shout out to Beauty Jackson. Hello, Mel. Going to try to do you proud as I try to take over your shoes officially and the director of programming of the CSPN, new title starting here this weekend. So big shout out to Mel because she always gets shouts out. Give a big shout out to the whole GLOW and everybody who is down with us, all the female wrestling fans. Give a shout out to Nick Ju. She had Classic on her What's the Tea interview show this week, and they gave some love to the WrestleCast. Give a shout out to, like I said, all the podcasts that joined us for the live tweets. Go Get Over, the AA Announce Table, Slam Brothers Podcast, Afterglow Podcast, Powerbomb Jitsu. I think there's anybody else I'm forgetting. Just everybody who shows up every week and rocks with the WrestleCast. If you listen through iTunes, give us 5 stars. Share the podcast with your friends. Review the podcast. Get the word out. Let them know that, you know, we do the thing on Twitter. So, you know, they can have fun watching it as a family. And they can, you know, join the black nerds that like wrestling. So, again, for my guest tonight, the reigning and defending El Dandy Award winner for Guest of the Year, Quintessential R. I'm Don DeLorente, and this has been episode 148 of the WrestleCast.
You know, I'm sorry, actually. Did I interrupt a moment? Wow, it's Roman Reigns and John Cena in the same ring at the same time! Barclays is blowing the roof off the place! How many moments do you two get? Honestly, you know, in life. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take it. I'll take it, Barclays. Because, you know, in life, you're always told that if you work hard, if you chip away, if you plug away, if you do your job, then your moment will come. And I am sick of waiting for my moment while two undeserving people like you two get moments week after week after week. Yeah, I'm gonna take my moment right now while I ruin your two. The general manager of Monday Night Raw, Kurt Angle, seems to think that Raw needs an addition. Wait. Raw needs an addition while the Intercontinental Champion rides the pine at SummerSlam. I'm curious, Barclays, does Raw need John Cena? You have 18,000 people chanting no.
Well, I'm a man of the people. I'll just show myself up.
I wasn't done talking to you. See, this is it. That face, that smirk right there. You turning my moments into a joke, while him saying that this is your yard. Well, this is my show, week in and week out. I'm the one working here. Not you and not you. And then there's you. You think you're left out of this? You don't know what to do. You don't know whether to cheer or boo John Cena. You don't know whether to cheer or boo Roman Reigns. I'm curious, who do you think that affects? You think that affects John Cena? You think that affects Roman Reigns? No, it affects me, the only champion in this ring. The person who deserves to be in the main event each and every night of Monday Night Raw, SummerSlam, or WrestleMania. And I am sick. I am sick. I'm not getting the respect I deserve. Your shirt says respect. Earn it. I've earned it for 12 damn years. Where is my moment?